Father, without you, we can do nothing. So we come before you this morning looking for you to complete the mission that we have been given. And this morning, Father, I trust that you will just release your grace so that these that have been chosen to receive this word will impact what they need to a level that will change them. I'd like to preface that our beginning as a prayer group at St. Anne's came in 1977. And the Holy Spirit had so impacted my life that, how many know God puts you in a place of authority when you need it? Somebody had manipulated me to become the executive board chairman at St. Anne's Church. And I say that with all respect. How many know when you're being manipulated and you're being used? God uses that. Okay? So I was aware because this guy used to be my boss. And I had worked for them for 2.5 years, so they knew me. And they had expectations that I would be a very useful tool for their agenda. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And you know that if you open your mouth, you're going to be in trouble, right? So you very quietly say zero. So I had one of those fancy zippers on. Kept it on for quite a while until the Lord impacted my life, which was in that space. So as the chairman of the executive board, we met once a month. We also had subcommittee meetings. And unbeknownst to me, I believe two or three other individuals had asked the pastor to have a prayer meeting at St. Anne's. But they always got turned down. Until I went to the board in my official capacity, and three other individuals on that board had been born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we asked to have a prayer meeting, and of course, it was a shoo-in. So what the end result was is that a prayer group was started, and we had a meeting with the leaders of that group at my house, and it was called a board meeting, I believe. Okay. I don't remember. Bottom line, I remember we were in the living room, and we had these new songbooks that had been given to us. We had purchased a couple of them, and but we had them at the house. I'll never forget it. And we had been meeting for a few weeks. We had the okay, but we didn't have a name for a group. Well, we prayed and we prayed. We interceded in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, there was one individual that said, "How about the Children of Light?" Well, never heard of such a thing. Very strange word. So we looked it up in the concordance and found the scripture, and it fit. Then, one of the girls said, "Kim, can I use your organ?" I said, "Sure." She says, "There's a song called The Children of Light in the book." Talk about a setup. So she went into the organ and she begins to play this song, and of course, the rest is history. That was 1977. In 1986 or 7, I'm not sure the date, the year, I'm on the road. I've done a job for the Lord, totally sovereign. He had commissioned me to do something, and I did. And I'm driving home. And I said to the Lord, now what are you going to do? What is this whole thing about? What are you trying to do with me? And I heard, I want you to dedicate what you've seen today to the children of light. Now, wait a minute, Lord. What are you up to? I've got my brain connected to St. Anne's prayer group. God said, no. There is going to be some children of light. They're going to be so enlightened that they will be an irritation to the darkness. Take a deep breath. Say, that fire of God is light inside of me. And it's irritating the darkness. That's why the adversary can now be seen, identified, and put beneath my feet where he belongs. Amen? All right. So now you get a little history lesson. Because even when I went to write it down, the Lord says, it's not the Children of Light prayer group. It's my Children of Light, where there will radiate my glory. So look at your neighbor, say, start radiating. Okay, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. You know, many things that we see the Lord do sometimes doesn't make a great deal of sense, but I'd like you to kind of come with me to verse 25 before we go any further. Matthew 11, 25. I'm going to use the Amplified on this one verse because I believe it will kind of capitalize a few things, okay? At that time, Jesus began to say, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, and I acknowledge openly and joyfully to your honor that you have hidden these things from the wise and the clever and the learned and revealed them to babies, to the childish, to the untaught, and to the unskilled. Revelation to the childish. Right? The unskilled, the untaught. Whoa. Babies. How many sometimes feel like they qualify for one of those titles? Put your hand way up and look around. See, the qualifying factor to be a believer is to be able to receive information from God's Word and let it impact your life so that then you can give it out to others. That's the design of the Father. You know, if you're trying to be impressive, somebody's going to see through your act. If you're trying to be pushy and know-it-all, somebody's going to get turned off. If you come and you say, I don't know how you're going to do this, God. I don't know how you're going to use me. I have no clue, but I'm willing and available. God is not looking for your ability, but He is looking for your availability. Now, I should have heard an amen there. He's not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Look at your neighbor again. Say, are you available? I've got a few that are going to take someone out to dinner. Just saw that. They said yes. See, being willing and available is the beginning of wisdom. Because then God has a chance. You know, I can still see my wife's face as we are driving to work when I still own the furniture store. And I told her that I had heard from the Lord and that he was going to sell the business. This was in 1981, January. And I'll be honest with you, she looked at me and she said, yeah, and what are we going to do? And I don't remind anyone about her having an attitude. I had the attitude too. But God had 6 months already dealing with me. She was getting the news not from God. She was getting news from me. What are we going to do? I have no clue, I said. But I know where to go. I said, give me your hand. And I'll never forget it. I took her hand and we drove. And we prayed this simple prayer. God, I don't know what you're going to do with us, but you've got to show us. And we're looking to see what you want from us. In Jesus' name. And that was pretty easy. It's not too hard to say that prayer. It is hard to see the results of that prayer. Because you see, everything that could radically change our normal lifestyle for that next week happened. We didn't do one thing normal in that week. All we did was minister to people and feed them. Some we fed breakfast, some we fed lunch, and some we fed supper, and some of them was a late night snack. And one particular night she said to me, I don't have any money left. I says, well, I've got a few bucks, go shopping tomorrow. She said, we need this and this and this. And then, believe it or not, the store door was already two families waiting, one at the back door and one at the front door the following morning. That's what we did all week. He has sustained us. He has sustained us because of His grace and His mercy. I'm not trying to advertise. I'm just trying to tell you, we were available. We didn't have the ability. We simply had some time, some energy, and an ability to love. All we had. And it was enough. Close your eyes. Say, Lord, I'm available. I have abilities, but I'm willing to lay them down. And let you use whatever you see in me that's available for you. Simply my willingness to obey and to do what you call me to do in the right season for your glory. Amen? That's the meeting before the meeting or the preaching before the preaching. How's that? Chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to see how this relates. When Jesus had finished his charge to his 12 disciples, he left there to teach and to preach in their cities, the towns of Galilee. I'm going to the NIV. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Watch. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Kind of cool, huh, girl? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, pause for a moment. Are you in the kingdom of heaven? Are you a citizen of heaven? Then that means that if that is your truth, that you are greater than John the Baptist. Well, is this scripture lie? I remember the Holy Spirit beginning to push this down into my throat, and it was like me trying to swallow an ice cube. I couldn't do it. I'd try to crack it. I'd try to break it. I'd say, God, I can't believe that I'm greater than John the Baptist. Who had a problem with unbelief? Me. Try it on for size. Close your eyes for a moment. Say, Lord, can I believe, because I'm in your kingdom, that I am greater than John the Baptist? How many find that as you say those words, there's a churning going on the inside? Put your hands up. Put it way up. Look around. See, your unbelief is being what? Exposed right now. That's really what it's all about. See, when you finally comprehend that you're in the kingdom, you're not supposed to be in a king's palace, but by all means you need to know that you're in the kingdom of the Most High God. You are one of the sons and daughters of the Most High. And we don't comprehend the fullness of what that means. In fact, our unbelief says, oh, but John the Baptist. Oh, but so-and-so. How many have a few worshipers that you've seen worship on plateaus that, oh my God, if I was like so-and-so, oh, I'd be great. Yeah. I'm trying to put you where God says you are, and I put them where they belong. Aha. Low self-esteem is being exposed right now. Unbelief is being exposed right now. Yes, dear. Yeah. I looked at those pictures yesterday. Mm-hmm. Haven't taken that book out for years. Mm-hmm. So we're going out. That confirms the vision. Somebody's going to be listening to this message, and they're going to awaken to the truth that they're in the kingdom. And when you awaken to the truth that you're in the kingdom, you're launched out. You're going on a journey. You're not going to stay put anymore. The unbelief is going to be exposed. And when the unbelief is exposed, what do you think is going to happen to the integrity that you see in yourself because of Christ being in you? See, that's the bottom line. The anointed one is alive in me. Ah. Look one more time at your neighbor. Say, the anointed one is probably flickering inside of you a little bit. How many changed the sentence? He's alive in me. He's fully alive in me. See, I'm tempting you to say what your brain says. Oh, yeah, you're flickering just like me. Baloney! You're not flickering, you're fully alive. That fire's red hot. Why? Because he hasn't changed his mind about his love for me. And he's not going to. He's not going to let me go. He's going to hold on to me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, did you hear that one? All right. Let's go back now. Verse 11. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, is that a misprint in my Bible or is it in your Bible? Okay. See, either God has written the truth that you need to change about your attitude, about yourself, or else this Bible should be thrown away. Because it's wrong. But in reality, 12 men chose to lay down their lives, not to deny Christ Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's His Spirit that wrote the Word. It's His Word that became flesh so that we could see the manifestation of who He is. The fullness of the Father was present in His Son. And when He gets done with you and me, the fullness of the Father and the Son will be complete in you. And He will radiate through you. And you will be a child of light. That light's going to be so bright, it will knock down disease, sickness, deafness, leprosy, and death. Thank you. Why am I so radical? Because I'm trying to let you know that it's time to wake up. The one that's in you is greater than that which is in the world. You're going to be the American Idol. Yes, for Jesus, absolutely. But do you know why you'll be the American Idol? Because of the light of Christ. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to be focused on a TV set. You're going to be focused on the ones that are full of light walking around you. Saying, why is he or she brighter than me? Why is he or she brighter than me? Because they may be spending quality time with the Lord. When you spend quality time with the Lord, what happens to the light inside? Brighter, stronger, bigger. And by the way, you'll zap bigger bugs. How many know a low light attracts bugs? How many know a high light will zap the bugs? Look at your neighbor again. Say, you're going to be a bug zapper. They ain't going to hang around you. Because they're going to get burnt up from the fire of God that's pouring out of you. Aha! What am I doing? I'm trying to awaken you to who's inside of you, who you really are in Christ Jesus. And if you can believe it, then things will begin to change around you. But it's your choice to believe it. Verse 12. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Are you becoming forceful with the Word? Or are you going to just, I think God's Word says, and I'm not that sure, but I think I'll be sick today. I don't feel that great. And then, maybe I should call my friend for prayer. Oh, by the way, Susie, I'm not feeling that great today. Would you pray for me, please? And Susie begins to pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm feeling just like this one. And I know exactly where she's coming from. And I know how awesome it is and how awful we feel today. So would you please lift us both up, Lord? You haven't zapped any bugs there, have you? Come again? She's having fun there. Yes, yes. Go ahead. You're both in trouble. How many have ever been on the phone with Susie? Now, Susie's not here. God bless Susie. I'm not picking on Susie. But you understand where I'm coming from. How many have had a phone call from Susie or with Susie?
A weekend with her.
A weekend with her. Okay. How many know you don't want to spend any quality time with Susie? Why?
She drains you.
Praise God.
Keep praying for her, though.
Keep praying for Susie. Amen. Amen. Yes, you can love her. How many know sometimes you have to love them from a distance?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean I got to love Susie even when she calls and I don't answer? That's right. All right? I can remember back at Grace Church. I'm not picking on Grace now. Don't get me wrong. But I can remember sitting in my office, and I've had a few Susies on the phone, and I now can no longer do what I'm supposed to be doing because I'm tied on the phone. I go from one Susie to Susie B to Susie C, Susie D, E, and F, and G, and I could go on. And this one particular lady, in fact, I'll give credit to the Lord for her today. She gave me this Bible. And I can tell you the year. It came from June, Moscow. In August 1986. So I'm giving you facts. June was bedridden. She had not been out of bed for, if I remember correctly, 2.5 to 3 years. She heard that we had a prayer line at Grace Church of Christ. I don't know how she got the number. Not important. It was started a while before, and the Lord hooked me and June together. And I can tell you that I can say without hesitation, hundreds of hours on the phone with this lady. And one day, I said, June, I am going to be honest with you. You're getting out of bed today. Kim, I can't walk. I am so sick. I have so many allergies. I said, wait a minute. It seems to me that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and it's time for you to act like it. And so we had one argument after another, after another, after another, and we quoted God's Word one verse after another, after another, and after another. And by 3 o'clock that afternoon, she got out of bed for the first time. And she walked to the edge of her room and walked back, celebrating in the realm of the Spirit because she had been filled with the Holy Ghost and prayed in other tongues. And I can remember the anointing in my office was so intense that I couldn't stand up. The following Friday night, she was at Grace Church of Christ, and she gave her testimony. And she wept because she had so many allergies that she could not stand any kind of perfumes. The only doctor that would willingly take care of her was in North Carolina. And she would fly down there in some kind of a wheelchair situation. I don't know the details. And I can tell you that her daughter was a teaching nurse at Bay State Medical Center. So she had the best of care. But you know what? You can have the best of care and still be deceived. She bought me that Bible as a gift. She brought it to me in my office and she said, I'm not bringing this to you to pay for what you did. She says, but it's to settle an argument. God was right. God was right. And she radiated the light of Christ, that many people were born again because of her obedience. She walked in front of that altar and she says, you know what? I can smell all the wonderful smells of the perfumes in this room, and there is no allergies left in me. Because Jesus has freed me. Jesus has freed me. Jesus has freed me. Why am I saying this to you? Because that's the signs and wonders that are going to follow you. That's what I'm looking for. To see the greater one, Christ Jesus, in you, rise higher than John the Baptist ever could rise. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, today, take me higher. Take me higher mentally, so that I can see the light of Christ flowing out of me and the fire of God zapping the enemy every step of the way. And I declare with boldness, I belong to Jesus Christ. I am full of His light, and His fire will burn a path for me right in the middle of all my enemies. And to Jesus be the glory. And all of God's people said, and amen. And yippee skippy, you got it.